really, really hard to interrupt. Thank you, Matt. Welcome back to Cairo Nights, everybody. I'm Spike O'Neill along with Matt Butler. And, of course, Christine McVie passed away today. Kind of unexpectedly, I think, for most of us true fans of the band. And even as a peripheral fan of the band, that's in there deep. All their tunes, their hits, they're in there deep. They have meaning to you and memories with them. And that's, yeah. I'm just too young. That's so funny, man. Oh, I love the textures to this show, and I'm starting to be railroaded by the textures when they grab the steering wheel of the show and just take us off course sometimes, so I'll try not to let that happen, but you guys are great. You guys are talented. We were talking a bit about where Twitter is today and where will it be tomorrow, because that's a point of concern for a lot of people these days with Elon Musk and his professional style, his management style, the style in which he took over Twitter, the way he played games with the sale itself, and then finally followed through with the sale and the grandiose and grandstanding way he made his entrance into Twitter to take control, the firing massive peoples on various departments and levels out of hand. I mean, it was almost like out of a scene from Marvel movies where who's the one that takes Thanos takes over and snaps his finger and half of Twitter is gone. You know, there's a Saturday Night Live bit for you. Elon Musk gets the glove with the five stones, snaps his finger and half the people at Twitter just. Well, that's given Twitter the difficulties of trying to manage the business that they run, that he runs, that he bought, of grossly understaffed. You think Starbucks backs up when it's understaffed? Try Twitter. You know, yesterday, or was it today it was announced, just today, that Twitter will lift their ban on COVID misinformation. Because free speech, you know, I get free speech. I love free speech. I'm a fan. I'm make my living. But then there's dangerous speech. And already experts on both sides of the fence are weighing about what a great day it is. That opposing viewpoints won't be silenced through some attack on conservatism. Now that the new sheriff's in town and Elon has rode into town, I used to be able to do that really well. That you know, with the hands, I could crack one of those out like nothing. But Elon's in town, new sheriff. You know, all are welcome back at the temple of misinformation. And we've all got the right to speak our mind again with a soapbox in town square, and that's what Twitter is, right? Town square for this generation, that's what Twitter is.
I would push back on that. It's
well, that's,
just another
was that the goal?
Social media platform.
Well,
you don't have the right to be on social media, and most people shouldn't be. It's just a website where people go to post mostly meaningless things and argue with other people. Twitter is not, you know, a special snowflake.
Well, but I'll give you, all those were true. All those were accurate. But it's also how people, you know, spread information. Metaphorically, it's the town square, right? How many people get their news from Twitter? Sports updates from Twitter?
Too many.
Maybe. And if people are allowed to just throw anything into social media and call it news or fact or, you know, expert opinion, God forbid we call it an expert opinion for somebody who really isn't qualified to use the word expert in describing their opinion. And we've all seen those in every way, shape, or form. You know, the professors from the doctors from Keyboard U are ruling the world these days. Remember we had a story about a month ago, Matt, where I think Rachel Bell did a piece about the dangers of this younger generation getting mental health and behavioral health advice from social media influencers across multiple platforms, where these people who claim to be experts would give this uninformed and unresearched and often dangerously incorrect information about how the younger generation should deal with their mental health situations and sometimes crises. And there should be moderators to this flow of content because it can do real harm. And for the folks who say that, you know, Twitter banned conservative speech, that one always kind of got in my craw a little bit. It seems, I don't remember Twitter's dictating that we're going to ban all tweets regarding fiscal responsibility, a conservative viewpoint. We're going to ban fiscal responsibility tweets. We don't like them. We're going to ban tweets about two-parent homes. A conservative viewpoint. That's, you know, if I remember correctly, and I read a little bit into it, not as much as I probably should have, That's common with all topics, by the way. Mark it down. You know, Twitter banned violent hate speech, right? Twitter banned, they had a board of reviewers, or they had people who banned dangerous misinformation. But now those people are gone. They don't have the capacity anymore to monitor this information. So now, in the name of free speech, we're going to let misinformation fly with regard to public health. It's a dangerous thing to have that unfettered megaphone in the marketplace and the ability to call yourself an expert. And you may very well be an expert in what you've studied. You may very well be have all the knowledge and information you need to make your point of view from that perspective. But there are a lot of sides to every issue. There's a lot of different factors in every public health statement. A lot of different factors come into play. And to just wait, you know, willingly, blatantly, willy-nilly, throw your opinion and your knowledge base and your experience around as expertise in an area you're not qualified to do that, that's dangerous stuff. I don't think hiding behind the banner of free speech makes it worth the risk to the population. There are limits on free speech. There are things you can and can't say. You know, wasn't a 500-time increase in use of the M-word in the first week that Twitter was under Elon Musk's tutelage? I mean, the guy's now he's calling back folks who he fired to help, you know, get the work done that needs to be done to make this the viable business he spent so much money on. I don't know. I don't know how Twitter's going to move forward. Elon Musk met with Tim Cook, right, from Apple. So clearly he's asking, say, what am I doing wrong here?
If I were Tim Cook, I wouldn't have hosted that spoiled man child for anything. I'd tell him to GT beep O.
That's safe on the back of any car in the school parking lot, the way you put that. Well done. Well done. You know, the EU is warning Musk that Twitter faces a ban over content moderation. That's a pretty big slice of their audience. They feel that content moderation has value and almost, dare I say, a responsibility with content moderation, with regard to content moderation for Twitter, for a forum like that. With great power comes great responsibility. I don't know why I'm quoting Marvel so much tonight, but it seems to have bearing on the situation. People say Twitter's less safe. Experts in the field. Let me quote this expert so I'm not just talking smack out of my back, you know.
The fact that anyone is even listening to Elon Musk, the fact that he's newsworthy, is endemic of a sickness.
Well, but they're not listening to Elon Musk. They're feeding at the trough Elon Musk is flooding.
But he has a cult. A bunch of crypto bros spent $600,000 to build a statue of a goat with Elon Musk's head on it delivered it to their god emperor in tribute. Cultic stupidity.
I'm pretty sure it's just a fraternity prank. Come on, we got to look into that a little more. Experts are saying that Twitter is becoming less safe from a global security point of view. We talked a little about sports, right? We talked a little bit about protests in sports. We talked about protests around the globe, protests in China. China, where the government has cracked down so hard on their population for in the way of speech, there's fear of violence leading to deaths in the protests in China if the Chinese don't fall back into line, right? And they're trying to use their social media platforms like Twitter to let folks know what's really happening in China. From the protesters' point of view, from the no more lockdown folks, I know a lot of you are out there, the no more lockdown folks. And when the people of China try to speak up, their government, through Twitter, their government floods Twitter with spam and misinformation so that anytime anybody tries to get information out or information from of the China situation, Twitter's just deluged with garbage from a foreign government. That's because Twitter now doesn't have the capacity to stop those actions in the way of massive spam or vet information. Twitter can't do that anymore because they let all those people go. So is this nothing short of a dry run for the next election cycle, where governments around the world are watching what China's doing, flooding Twitter to keep the voice of the protesters down, and how Twitter no longer has the capacity to keep it safe and moderated from attack.
I am genuinely baffled, genuinely vexed by people who think that a website is not allowed to have rules. If I start a website, if I start a radio station, if I start a publication, I am not obligated to let people come on and bully others, dox others, say insightful things, or even things that I just think are dumb or rude. Because it's my thing, it's my business, and I can say, hey, be nice in my house or get lost.
It doesn't have to even be a media site or a newspaper or a radio station. You can open a restaurant and tell people that.
Exactly.
You can open a hardware store and tell Bright.
Part of freedom of speech is not having to accept everybody else's speech on your property.
Well, also, freedom of speech isn't freedom from consequence. I've been saying that my whole life. You're free to say whatever you want. It could cost you your right to come in here.
You are not constitutionally guaranteed the right to a freaking Twitter or Facebook account. And no, I'll tell you something
absolutely
else.
Absolutely not. Okay.
I don't have the stats for Twitter.
Yeah.
But I know that for Facebook, every time, and I see these regularly, like every couple of weeks, the most shared items on Facebook, even when Facebook was supposedly the height of social media censorship, Franklin Graham, Breitbart, Ben Shapiro, The Daily Wire, all hitting in the top 5 to 10 most every time the most shared content providers on Facebook were released. Real suppression, huh?
Well, yeah. No, well, only when it's the point of view of the people making noise. That's true with everything, though. That one does cut both ways. But it is kind of hard to crowd out or to cry. They're limiting my speech to millions of people.
YouTube. The science showed. The studies showed that alarmist and extremist content was amplified. You start somewhere on the YouTube page and you go down the rabbit hole to InfoWars and all of that very fast.
If you think it's politically motivated, this algorithm that feeds you information, type in a song you like and look what happens to your feed. Right? You've seen that. All of a sudden you've got every bootleg fish video ever put to the internet. You don't think the same system, the same algorithm can't work for your political views? Of course it does. It literally is a whirlpool, a sewer drain of misinformation about most topics. They'll superfeed you what you see to give you what you want more and more and more of, because they know they got your eyeballs and they can start selling you whatever they want to try to sell you. Whoever's still advertising on Twitter. I haven't talked about that yet. How many advertisers feel with a lack of moderation it's not a safe marketplace for their message? We're talking about huge corporations, not, you know, one-offs or newspaper or gold or whatever else is being sold on some of the more fringy type networks, you know, home survivalist supplies, whatever's being sold. These are people like General Motors and Apple and other huge global conglomerates that don't feel like Twitter is a safe marketplace for their products' message. Afraid to be associated with some of the things that a lack of moderation will let roam free. Into your room, into your kids' room, on social media, in Twitter. You know, and to bring any kind of poisonous point of view into everybody's house. There's no responsibility with the platform? Of course there is. Of course there is. Come on. You won't sell a newspaper on the street with hate speech and violence and pornography, God forbid. But you'll have a social media that gets closer to your kids and your spouse and whomever, your parents, your buddies at work, your brothers and sisters.
And this baffling thing where people are cheerleading for, hey, people can just get on and lie and bully people, but that's no big deal.
Right.
That's no big deal. That's cool. We're cool with that. We're cool with the neo-Nazis. We're cool with their recruitment drives. We're fine with all of that because we're afraid we might get banned for I don't know what reason, using a racial slur. I don't know what these people are afraid of.
Everyone,
what does it say about you if you are conducting yourself in a way where you think you're likely to be kicked out of a social media
site? It feels like you've come across people who don't believe the truth. You've come across people who run on the conspiracy to keep you shut down. the entire global global conspiracy of media and politics and retail and business, all designed conspiring to keep your point of views repressed.
Well, you know what the conspiracy is, Spike?
Sometimes.
It's money.
People
People dig making money, right?
Right.
And
right.
Elon is going to have a heck of a hard time making money if he creates an environment that is so nasty, abusive, and toxic that mainstream advertisers don't want to be a part of it.
Well, it's funny that you say it that way because people always want to let the market decide these issues. Let the market solve these problems. If that's the case, then you might be spot on right on this. If the money dries up because no one thinks it's a safe place to come and do business, and $8 a month to have a blue check next to your name doesn't really seem like the solution to the problem for you, maybe the market will solve this problem for us, and you won't need government intervention regarding censorship or moderation.
Well, like I said, Jack Dorsey working on a new product. There are other alternatives that are in the works. I think Twitter will be surpassed one day.
I think the same. We haven't met the new Twitter yet.
Elon can enjoy his very expensive, overpriced toy.
He's going to be fine. He'll make lots of other money. He's good at this. It's Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill with Matt Butler. We'll be right back.
This hour is brought to you by DUI Heroes.
Here's the latest forecast, Santa, and I'm afraid it doesn't look good.
Oh, really? Maybe I'll just stay home this year and invite all my favorite Cairo voices to join me in putting on a great, big Cairo News Radio holiday special.
Oh, that's a great idea, Santa. We'll do it live on Tuesday, December 13th, 8 p.m.
It'll be a zipper merge of holiday fun.
A giant dose of kindness.
A convergence zone of good cheer.
But, Traffic Elf, why is your nose so red?
To guide your sleigh out of the left lane.
Thought about the political connection to this band.
I was going to say, Spike, yeah. You remember when we had Hope? Literally, Boy from Hope.
I got Hope.
Barack
I got Hope.
Obama, also. A lot of people hopeful in the Barack Obama days.
I got Hope. I still got Hope.
And now what we're all doing is we're all sitting around doom scrolling in some pretty inappropriate places sometimes.
We can, absolutely. Could be a dark little rabbit hole we fall into. And sometimes with the best intentions, too. You know, a texter asks, how does the algorithm work? We talked about social media feeds and how they're fed by an algorithm. How do they know what's going to keep me coming back for more and more and more? And social media marketing is a science all unto itself. There are multiple ways to get your attention, find out what your interests are, lay hooks into you, and feed you breadcrumbs to keep coming back. It's multi-layered. It's multifaceted. It's a video you watch. Oh, it's like when you might like these videos also. Like when you purchase an item online shopping, they show you some other things you may be interested in given the algorithm they've played out millions and hundreds of millions of times.
You played Call of Duty. You may enjoy buying an AR-15.
Oh, don't jump to the end of the... Dude, that's a slippery slope. Oh, I don't like when other people do it. Come on.
I'm saying that's how the algorithm works.
Oh, well, it will feed you
you're
aggressive
things.
Right.
And they lead you to other things down the rabbit hole.
Click on the video of like car crashes caught by random surveillance cameras in intersections or storefronts. Click on any of a compilation of cars tipping over, buses tipping over, nearly missing cars at train tracks, whatever it might be, and see how many of those populate your feed. Yeah, that's not even getting into the audio cues that our social media marketing experts take from us in our lives. You ever just had the experience where you talk about something and all of a sudden that's what's populating all your feeds with advertisements for that product or like products in that lane? They get to us pretty easily. We give them the information. We trade the information as currency. We give our private information out to so many people in exchange for access or opportunity or benefits. And they got us. And it's getting worse. And we talked about China, where surveillance is everything, everywhere. One of Xi Jinping's, the president of China, soon to be probably the lifetime president of China, because that's what he's putting into place. One of their main objectives and accomplishments is tracking of people. That's one of the things the lockdown was. It becomes so intrusive to Chinese population and Chinese life. It's because they got you everywhere you go. They know where you go with your cell phone. They know where you go with your credit cards, your information. And they track how many interactions you have, and they give you a rating on how safe you are. And they can shut you down. They have access to everything. Information is valuable. That's how the algorithms work. You know, but see how fast you shopping for something or type in a keyword search, you know, keywords, right? If you know anything about social media, you know, you type in certain words, snow, goggles, boom, and you're saying all of a sudden you're getting ads for snow goggles out the yang. It doesn't be that specific either. I mean, and marketers bid on keywords so that when you type in the word snow, which company gets the first pop up in your feed? Which one gets first shot at dry ball selling you something, sending you an ad? That's how social media works. So it's like any marketplace, you can't put billboards up on the side of the road spreading misinformation, right? You can't run a business, put a billboard up on the side of the road, blatantly lie in your advertising and bring people into your store. But on social media, somehow free speech is more important than accuracy, you know, confidence, trustworthiness, safety, public safety. If I sell safe bottled drinking water, and it's full of toxins and kills people, I've got the right to free speech to tell you about this water. On social media, I can be an endorser for this water. On social media as an influencer, and there's no problem for me spreading misinformation.
We have somebody talking about the good old days of the internet. Let me remind you of some of what you used to get on the good old days of the internet. You remember when they had to crack down on people who, without consequence or traceability, were producing and distributing child pornography on the old Wild West internet? Do you remember when every news magazine show on television was talking about the dangers of cyber stalking because children were getting hurt by predators? They were rolling up and visiting them and seducing teenagers and all of the ridiculous, abusive stuff that happened under the Wild West internet. So, yay, that's what we want to bring back more of. No, come on.
Buddy, come on.
Come on. Do better.
I'm with you.
This is the principle that I have about humanity. We all have biases. We all have blind spots. But every day, we can choose to get smarter or we can choose to get dumber.
Well, we can choose to put ourselves at risk or not put ourselves at risk. Make it into survival. Put it in survival mode. Right? Appeal to people in their basic core instinct, which is survival. Right? You want to be safer tomorrow or unsafer tomorrow? Do you want to have your kids subjected to more dangerous things tomorrow or less dangerous things tomorrow? You know, we all know that the government can do good things to help protect the population. Keeping, you know, pharmaceuticals safe to take isn't intruding on our rights to take whatever the hell we want to cure our ills. Right? Making sure the water is clean and safe to drink. Isn't the government intruding on our ability to quench our thirst? It's them making sure that the country is safe for the people, the citizens who pay taxes, to be able to count on safe streets and safe water and safe food and safe medicine, all the things that we need to, as a society, move forward so we can care for our family, plan for the future, give our kids a safer life to live in than we had, maybe a better life to live in than we had, even though that goal is shrinking like a blister in the sun. Matt, I'm gonna ban you from texting people. I'm telling you, buddy. I understand how infuriating this it can be with people who go to extremes, and that's true for everybody.
Going
to extremes.
Elon Musk accused an innocent man of molesting a child and got by with it. That's your God Emperor. That's your hero. That's the dude you're building statues to. Spare me the idea that Elon Musk is some sort of defender of morality and free speech. He's an entitled ass.
Okay. We're going to move off of Elon Musk. We haven't dived down that storyline in a while, even though it's a pretty important story and touches all of our lives. Touches everything from retail to national security to politics. Touches it all, Twitter does, and Elon Musk does. So we're going to move on. This is fun.
People's lives and people being doxxed and stalked aren't really something to be played with. Ponder that.
Hi, buddy. What else you want to talk about? We could do, you know what we didn't do? I didn't play the thing I wanted to play. Let's do it next. Right? Is that next? The tape I had from earlier today. We never got into that. And we don't have time now, do we? I don't know what that means. Kemosabe, your smoke signals. There's too much side wind. I'm not reading it. Should we announce that? Hey, where you at, bud? Talk to me. It's okay. Hi, Matt. Hi, everybody. It's Kyron. It's Kyron Knights with Spike O'Neill and Matt Butler. What am I missing here? I can't hear you.
You can't hear me because I'm not saying anything.
Oh, well, what would you like me to do here, Matt? Mate? Hello. Okay, fine. My apologies, everybody. Let's give the Seahawks code word of the day. Let's do that now. It's time to announce Seahawks code word. Head to mynorthwest.com/win and enter the code word tackle to be entered to win two tickets to see the Hawks take on the Carolina Panthers December 11th at Lumen Field. The code word expires at 11:59 tonight. Details and rules are at mynorthwest.com/win. We will have three winners tonight. We will draw three winners, give away tickets, and we'll have a new keyword tomorrow and all the rest of the week. You can go to mynorthwest.com/win for information or just keep it here to Kyron News Radio all week long for your chance to win more Seahawk tickets. There you go. There's lots of stuff still on the agenda to talk about tonight. It's Kyron Knights. I'm Spike O'Neill with Matt Butler. We'll be right back after these. Christine McVie passed today. I'm sure you guys have heard.
You know, the thing I love personally about Fleetwood Mac is so much of their music is like comfort, you know, like a warm blanket, some hot soup in the winter, a nice roaring fire. Fleetwood Mac, their music is just so comforting.
Is it yacht?
So many
points
of our life.
Is it yacht rock? Is that what you'd call it? I've heard that term thrown about both in
you could loosely flattering. Put some of their songs in that category, but I appreciate them so much as a band and their eras that I think reducing the yacht rock is a little, I don't know, not demeaning exactly, marginalized.
I wouldn't call them yacht rock, but some of their tunes could be falling onto a serious satellite, whatever brand of internet radio you want, playlist of yacht rock. Some Fleetwood Mac might qualify. That's a beautiful piece of work. That one has that kind of easy, relaxing vibe. And yet they sometimes rock their pants off. For the last break, we heard some of the worst first week radio of your life here at Kyron News Radio. I want to apologize. That's on me. I've been losing my train of thought so much lately, Matt. We went into that with a plan.
Well, it's not like you're not doing other things. I mean, you've already done 3 hours of radio today.
And I'm finishing my shopping list online while we talk. Because as I mentioned all this social media marketing, and my phone's just populating with these incredible deals. As Cyber Wednesday, is it now? Is Cyber Hump Day? Boy, don't type in Cyber Hump Day. There's something that'll get you in trouble on your work computer.
But it will get you discounts at OnlyFans.
Oh my gosh. We want to kind of, you know, cleanse the palate, as we say at the restaurant. It's Christmas time. If you are like me, if your family's like mine, there is a nostalgic and loving memory of Christmas that travels through the holidays with all families in some way, shape, or form, some capacity. Some folks have the same traditions, cook the same meals at holidays. My wife's side of the family have a tradition where her uncle and all their children get together, and the peripheral cousins all get together on Christmas Eve and sing carols. You know, a couple of the uncles play instruments, and they sit in the room with people, and they pass out lyric sheets, and nobody's allowed to just sit there and not take part. And it's wonderful. Everybody has these Christmas traditions. One of them for us is ornaments. Some people just rack, you know, and we overdo it. I know we do. Some people have ornaments that have passed down through generations from their parents, from their grandparents, from the old country, from wherever. And the ornaments on a lot of people's trees, including ours, represent what matters to them in life. You know, I got to travel to Ireland a few times in my life, in my radio career. So I brought some Irish Christmas memories back to hang on our tree every year to kind of take us back. And that's out there for everybody, no matter what you're into, no matter what, and not just at Christmas, no matter what you're into, there's a Christmas ornament for you. You know, my wife kind of early on in our daughter's lives, our children's lives, each kid had a special little totem at Christmas. For one daughter, it was a Frosty the Snowman. For the other daughter, it was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. So every year there was a special ornament that had that theme to it for our kids. And it's all, everyone from Christmas's past are on the tree. But no matter what you're into, there's an ornament for you. If you're into Reubens, the sandwich, not guys named Reuben, there's an ornament for you. There's a Reuben ornament to hang on your tree. The Queen of England can be yours on your tree. You name it. The things that we have made ornaments of to take part in Christmas, celebrate our life. They are everywhere. A stick of butter hanging on your Christmas tree. I can't imagine why some would have a stick of butter ornament every year to come out. You know, did you lose a family member to coronary?
Did you lose your producer to a coronary event? Yeah.
That stick of butter, that's what took Matt from us. It wasn't interaction with a hostile audience. No, sir. It was the butter. I love you, buddy. An oyster.
I can't believe it's not butter.
I can't believe it. Oh, how about a pumpkin spice latte hanging on your tree? Are you that much of a fan? My sister is. I say this with love and empathy because my sister is. She's got a pumpkin spice latte Christmas ornament.
Can you guess which ornament in that article? I think it may have been in the photo. Can you guess the one I really liked?
The oyster,
like
on
my favorite of all of
the
them.
The oyster on the half shell?
No.
No, because that hits home to me. That brings me back to my youth on the Chesapeake Bay and raised with my grandfather in the backyard teaching me how to shuck oysters when I was old enough to spear my hand. I still have the scar with a shucking knife. You know, that's how, so that one. Santa with a mask?
I'll give you a hint. It was turned into a very popular meme.
Oh, RBG? No? Maybe I'm looking at a different picture, man. Is it the caviar? It's not the caviar. I know you at least that well.
It was the Bernie ornament.
Oh, it's just not on the picture I'm looking at.
Oh,
we're looking
okay.
at different stories. I apologize.
Okay, yeah, because they have the cutest okay. Bernie Sanders
with the
ornament.
Mittens. With the mittens.
With the mittens.
Of course.
Yeah.
And that spoke to so many people. That's what I'm talking about. That little memory from your life, from your year every year. Maybe that was a moment that caught some people. That was their whole year. Wrapped up in one little meme, one caption, one photo. What a great photo. He was everywhere. He traveled the world like, you ever see Flat Bill, one of those guys that travel the world? They take pictures of the little guy all over the planet.
Yeah, our sort of our modern day Where's Waldo?
Yes, yes.
Where's Bernie?
Yes. Oh, buddy, I know what to get you for Christmas. You can't already have one, do you?
No, I do not.
You
That's
don't?
Why when
good.
I saw it, I'm like, that is so perfect. I love that.
Don't you love when your Christmas list gets filled out right in front of you, folks?
I love it.
When you know just what to get the guy in your life just from listening to him talk. See, that's how you find out what the perfect Christmas gift is. It's been a long day, buddy boy. But we're almost there. We got an hour left to go and a lot more stuff to cover here at Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill along with Matt Butler. We're going to play a little Christmas music coming out. I know we've been playing a loving, loving tribute to Christine McVie, and we're not going to stop that. We're going to find some Christmas twisted tunes I've done in my life that are maybe hopeful and bright and warm and relaxing in honor of Christine McVie and her passing today at the age of 79. It's Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill with Matt Butler. We'll be right back.